Today on the Travel Guys,
two folks named Jackson have a most interesting story about planting trees in all 50 states.
In our entertainment segment, Sacramento's getting ready for one of the biggest and broadest cultural festivals of the year, and we have details.
Our friends at GoldStar.com, who sell discounted tickets to shows and attractions, celebrate selling 5 million tickets.
And in the travel news, soon you won't have to worry about being seen naked in the airport.
All that and more today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city.
Let's go on with the show.
Good afternoon, friends, and welcome to the program. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Time for another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. And as always, we begin the program with an update in the travel news. Mark, what do you have for us today?
All right, today in the travel news, police suspect an explosion in a ship's engine caused the fire that killed two crew members, injured nine, and forced passengers to evacuate a popular cruise off Norway's western coast last week. Onshore police officials told reporters there was an explosion in the engine room. Hurtigruten, the operator of the ferry/cruise ship, said nine crew members were hospitalized and two killed in the blast. No more nudity in airports. Indeed, the House Subcommittee on Transportation Security on Wednesday unanimously approved an amendment to the annual TSA Authorization Act of 2011 that would put an end to naked full-body images currently produced by advanced imaging technology machines at U.S. airports. The scanners, which were first deployed at U.S. airports beginning in 2007, have been widely criticized, with privacy advocates arguing the images are too revealing. Under the amendment, the TSA would have 90 days to install the updated equipment. The new software produces a generic stick figure outline of a person being screened rather than a detailed passenger-specific image. If a traveler has a suspicious item on their body, it shows up as a red box on a specific area of the stick figure outline. While the legislation is interesting, the fact is that the TSA is already replacing the machines on their own and is on target to remove all of the controversial show-all machines within the next year. So just so I understand here, Congress is discussing a bill to force the TSA to do something they are already doing. Perhaps I'm just a bit cynical, or is this just a blatant attempt by some politician to piggyback something that's already happening for his or her political gain? You think? Maybe? An express security lane has debuted at the Pittsburgh airport. Call it a security version of the speedy supermarket checkout, if you will. Passengers traveling with one carry-on item now have the option of going through an express security lane at Pittsburgh International Airport. This move comes as a result of more people carrying more items through the checkpoint to avoid airline bag fees, an airport spokesperson said. The express lane is a way to streamline the weight at the checkpoint for those who pack light and fit it all into one bag. Only travelers with one item, such as a purse, a briefcase, a computer case, something like that, are allowed to use the express lane. That means that wheelie bag is not going to fly there. Jackets aren't counted as an extra item, but anything else would require passengers to use the other security lanes. Traveler reaction to the lane, which opened last week, so far has been positive. Frontier Airlines offers express boarding to passengers not using the overhead bins on their planes, so perhaps we are seeing a new trend towards rewarding passengers who cart less junk on board. Kids are going to get fewer pat-downs, it looks like. Responding to the uproar over physical searches of children, the TSA is rolling out new procedures that should reduce, although not eliminate, the number of times children are patted down at airport checkpoints. Under the new procedures, children age 12 and younger will be allowed to keep their shoes on, the TSA said. If a metal detector or full-body image detects a suspicious object, the children will be allowed multiple passes through the machines in an effort to identify the anomaly. Finally, airport screeners will have the option of swabbing the children's hands to check for an explosive residue as an alternative to patting down the kids. Finally, puffing on electronic cigarettes is already a no-no on flights, but the government wants there to be no doubt. The Department of Transportation is proposing to explicitly ban the use of those devices on airplanes. Electronic cigarettes look like the real thing, but they're actually battery-powered devices that turn nicotine into a vapor that is inhaled by the user. The DOT believes its current ban on smoking of tobacco products is bad enough to include electronic cigarettes, but wants to eliminate any confusion. Some airline passengers have been vaping on planes, convinced that the devices are exempt from the ban. In July, a Sandy, Utah man was arrested after an altercation that began when he started using an electronic cigarette on board a Southwest Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Salt Lake City. Amtrak has already banned the use of e-cigarettes on trains and in any area where smoking is prohibited, the DOT said, and the U.S. Navy also doesn't allow them below decks in submarines. Remember, in recent weeks, we have talked about energy and fuel surcharges and about how some are legit and some are a bit suspicious. A class action lawsuit accuses a hotel chain in the Bahamas of engaging in unfair and deceptive practices by charging certain fees to guests at its Atlantic resort, the local business newspaper reported. At the heart of the Atlantis suit is the mandatory housekeeping gratuity and utility service fee that Atlantis guests pay, the business newspaper says. The lawsuit claims the mandatory fee is deceptive because the resort doesn't give it all to their either housekeeping staff or to use it to cover utility fees. By labeling the gratuity and utility charge something it is not, the hotel chain is deceiving consumers into paying more for their hotel room than they bargained, claims the lawsuit. According to a report in Hospitality Business News, most hotel workers in the Bahamas are covered by a union agreement, and under the agreement, hotels collect a daily gratuity for housekeepers, making it a mandatory charge. Some of that housekeeping gratuity money is set aside in a common pool for other hotel employees, the story reports. The energy surcharge, however, the piece continues, is an additional charge added by the hotel at their sole discretion. And that's your travel news for today.
It's the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program. Thank you so much for joining us. Mark Hoffman across from me from Sports Leisure Vacations. This is Tom Romano, and it's time to go tree planting. And Mark will explain exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, and you know, when you're out on the road, when you travel on the road as much as I do, you have the opportunity to not only meet people you plan to meet on the road, but meet people you didn't plan to meet.
You know, sometimes, Mark, if people just kind of randomly tune into this show, they would think that you were like the hobo guy that jumps the rails or something.
Well,
as much as you're on the road.
And so when you're out there being on the road, being a hobo guy, you run into other people who have the same sort of passion. And I met this couple when we were out on our Lincoln Highway tour this summer, and what they are doing, what they have done, is, I think, a really interesting story. John Jackson is joining us. John and Joyce are from Delaware, Ohio, and they have spent 10 years crisscrossing the USA planting trees in all 50 states as a legacy to their name.
That's amazing. And John, where did you come up with this idea?
It was Joyce's idea. She wanted to do something that would leave a legacy to our name, and also some kind of a footprint that we had lived here on the planet, and we chose trees to do that.
Well, that's interesting.
So did you just take off with a bunch of seeds? I mean, did you plant the same trees in every state? Give us an idea of how this all, as it germinated, so to speak.
Now, we spent a year researching the project and deciding where to go to plant our trees, and it turned into a project that would take us many years because we did it on vacation time, and you know, traveling is our hobby, and we wanted to tie something into traveling that was also environmentally sound. And we plotted it all out, and we figured we could do 5 a year, and we took 10 years to do it.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Did you plant the same kind of tree?
No, we always contacted the local people and worked down through the nurseries that were located in those areas, and they specified trees for us. And we bought the trees ourselves initially, but then as the project got more publicity, the towns bought the trees for us.
Now, how do you get permission to just randomly go planting trees? How does that work?
Well, Joyce would start with the chief officer of the community and the mayor or whomever, and work down until we found the right person to deal with. And
mm-hmm.
every place we called cooperated. We had large receptions and small receptions, and mainly it was the parks and recreation people. but everyone assigned us some help and a place to plant the trees and indicated the kind of trees they wanted, and we took it from there.
We're talking with John Jackson on the Travel Guys this afternoon. If you've just joined us, John and his wife, Joyce, had spent 10 years traveling all 50 states, planting 5 trees in each state, plus a couple of special trees. I'll let him tell you about that in just a moment. And I think it's just a fascinating story to leave a living legacy, as you said, of your footprint is now in every single state. John, tell me about some of the places that you – did you have any special places that you planted the trees, or did you let the communities dictate where they went? How did that work?
Well, first of all, we have a little wrinkle in there. We tried to plant at a place named Jackson, which is our last name.
Sure.
We planted in Amador County in California, at Jackson, California.
Yeah, we know where that is, up the street.
And we worked with the communities, and a lot of times they needed some beautification of their city hall, as it was in Jackson, California. Other places, it was schools and waste transfer stations and all kinds of places that would take a lot to
Let's go back to Jackson, California for a moment. You said the city hall, so are your trees in – where are your trees planted specifically in Jackson, California?
Well, they're planted at the Civic Center or City Hall, but 4 didn't make it. We planted 5 in every place.
Uh-huh.
So we went back 2 years ago, and between the city and ourselves, we replanted 4 other trees, and they're located near Mel's Diner.
All right.
So
very
that's
cool.
Just so this wasn't just a one-time thing. You're kind of keeping track of your trees. Have you been back to see?
Oh, yes. We've been back to many places. Matter of fact, this summer we just got done touring 12 eastern states to check up on our trees and make sure they were, you know, progressing.
Now, at the locations where you planted these trees across the country, is there a plaque or something near that tree so people could identify it?
We started out with plaques, but we found out that the weed whackers got them or the vandals got them, and we backed off of that. But it's well documented in newspaper articles and magazine articles and books we've been in, and people tend to know where they are, and many of them keep in touch with us and let us know how it's going.
Now, do I understand correctly you wrote a book about this as well?
We did. We wrote a book called Trail of Trees.
Uh-huh. And,
it came out last November, and there's one chapter for every state and 2 extra chapters for our plantings in the Hermitage in Nashville, Tennessee, and also the U.S. Capitol building. We planted with the National Park Service at the Grant Memorial. So the book's 261 pages, 100 photographs, and it's available on Amazon.com, Trail of Trees, Jackson.
And, John, we will put on TravelGuysRadio.com for folks who might have an interest. We'll put a link there so that folks can find out about the book if they have some interest. I just think this is an outstanding idea. I really do. I really salute you for your passion and your dedication of not only going and planting these trees, but going back to make sure that they're still there or replacing ones that didn't make it.
One last question, John. What is the most lasting impressions that you took away from this project?
That would be that no matter where you're from, everyone loves their hometown. And we went to 50 spots around the country, and many of them named Jackson, but every single place we went to, they wanted us to come back and enjoy the place again and told us what a great place it was to live. So that was the impression. And also, if I can add a secondary, trees are a real touch point with people. I think the conservation, environmental, and the green campaigns have taken root, and people really look to put trees out there to beautify the environment.
Well, John, thank you very much for sharing your story with us and our listeners and with me when I was on the road. And thanks for your dedication to making the country that we live in just a little bit nicer. If everybody did what you did, John, why, we'd have trees springing up all over the place. And we're in Sacramento, which is the city of trees. How appropriate.
There you go. John and Joyce Jackson, the book is entitled Trail of Trees. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com and it'll link you there. Welcome. This is the Travel Guys radio program. Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation. And Jim and Gold Star has reached an all-time record.
Well, a level that I'm sure that he's very proud of. Jim McCarthy is joining us on the phone from Gold Star. We
talked with Gold Star just a few weeks back and introduced our travelers to what I think is one of the best websites. There are a lot of options out there when it comes to deals, you know.
Before we talk about the new level, let's Jim, welcome to the program. Why don't you tell folks what it is that you do?
Hi, guys. Thanks. Gold Star is the place to go if you like to go out and do stuff and you don't find yourself going out and doing stuff like theater, comedy, sports, and other activities as much as you'd like. We find that a lot of people wish they could go out and do more, but information and price and convenience and everything gets in the way. We move it right out of the way for you and sell you half-price tickets to a whole bunch of different things all over the place, and it's generally a way to bring a lot of fun into your life.
And, Jim, after we introduced Gold Star to our listeners a few weeks back, I signed up for your emails and things like that. And I was very surprised to find that, for example, there was tickets to some Giants games, which, you know, every Giants game this season has been sold out. The Giants, may they rest in peace. And so... Yeah, well, it's been a long season. It's been as long as last one was short, I'm afraid, for those of us in San Francisco. But anyway, point being that you had discounts on a really tough ticket. I saw a discount on the Sunday brunch cruise here in Sacramento on Hornblower Yacht, or on the one-hour sightseeing cruise. So for folks who are looking and all kinds of things from comedy clubs and concerts, and especially if you were somebody who it was Thursday and you decided, you know what, we don't have anything to do for Saturday yet, that would be your website would be an excellent opportunity. How did you start Gold Star, Jim?
We started this business almost 10 years ago now. In fact, 10 years ago, we were doing the planning. And really, here's the story. There are three of us who started the business, Robert and Rich, friends of mine. The three of us had worked for internet companies for several years and seen a lot of the crazy ways that business was done and felt like we wanted to do it our way. So that's the classic entrepreneur story. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do it right. And so whether we were right or whatever, we sat down at the proverbial kitchen table, mapped out a plan to get started, and worked out of our friend's a guest house for about 6 months, and then got an office and slowly invested more staff, and without any venture capital or outside investment, slowly built the company up, and now we've got about 60 employees, and we're in most of the big cities in the country and about 2 million members, and we hit a milestone, as you mentioned as well.
5 million tickets.
That's right.
And how many years have you been in existence?
About nine, a little more than nine that we've actually been selling tickets.
So that's over 500,000 tickets a year, and I'm sure that it's
average.
It's
accelerating. Yeah.
The first
few years were a little bit less than that, let me tell you something. It was a slow build, put that way.
Amazing. Jim, I just wanted to take a couple minutes today and congratulate you on the 5 millionth ticket.
You.
And on the incredible variety that you have, and for folks who are listening to Travel Guys to the Travel Guys today, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and you'll find a link there to the Gold Star website, and you'll be able to find out about all of you can sign up and get news on all of the discounted stuff that is going on in Sacramento and the Bay Area and even for a city that you might be visiting somewhere down the road.
If you're traveling.
Yeah, absolutely.
New York, L.A., Las Vegas, it's all there.
Yeah, Jim, you keep bringing us those great bargains, okay, and bring the Giants a couple of wins along the way, would you?
I'll do the best I can.
Okay.
All right. Jim McCarthy with Gold Star, congratulations on the 5 millionth ticket, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Call anytime.
We are the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio Program, News Talk 1530 KFBK. And a good Sunday to you. You're listening to the Travel Guys and Entertainment here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Tom Romano across from me, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. We are the Travel Guys and Entertainment for a good reason. And our next segment is a proof of that. Mark, tell us who we have in the studio today.
We have some guests here to tell us about a very special event that's going to happen in Sacramento here in a couple of weeks. It is the Sacramento World Music and Dance Festival. Carol Van Bruggen, who is the founding board member for the group, and Brett Freeman, who is the co-producer of the event, are here in the studio with us today. Welcome, Carol and Brett.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much, gentlemen.
It's our pleasure. So, the World Music and Dance Festival, this is the fourth year this has been held, and this is a big deal.
Sounds big. It sounds...
Yeah, as we were talking before we went on the air, many festivals try to capture one culture. And Lord knows, we have a lot of them around Sacramento. There's practically one every week, and that's terrific. This is a little different, Brett, in that it's trying to capture the cultures, all of the cultures of the world, in fact, in our very vast cultural city.
Yes, absolutely. Our focus and really our main mission is to tighten the fabric, our multicultural fabric in this community, and bring as many different positive expressions that reflect our heritage from all over the globe that was induced by the Gold Rush era. And we do that real well in Old Sacramento in October. On October 1st and 2nd are the dates this year.
Mm-hmm. So Sacramento is, we were talking about what a diverse cultural city Sacramento is, perhaps one of the most diverse cultural cities in the country. And it strikes me it's always been that way. Because in the middle 1800s, you had the Chinese laborers who came in, and we've seen just recently in the last 25 years here a huge influx of folks from Southeast Asia. We've had a lot of folks from Eastern Europe who have come to live here. So it seems like just about every generation we see another influx of people who are different from the people who are here, creating, just adding another slice of diversity to our community. So this event is designed to capture that diversity.
Absolutely. Capture it and gather it and celebrate the root cultures, as well as put a spotlight on the fusions that happen here in Sacramento like no other city, no other big city in America.
Describe the experience at the Sacramento World and Music and Dance Festival, if you would.
Well, I can tell you that if you go to the World Music and Dance Festival, you can stroll through Old Sacramento and watch world-class live music and dance performances on several stages that Brett can tell you about. We have a global village, which is educational and interactive experiences for children and families. This is a great event for children.
Yeah, I think, Carol, I think this is what makes it an event that it not only passes a cultural guideline, but a demographic. You've really captured everything here by providing something to attract families. Then now there's a reason to take your family down so that your kids can learn about the people who live in this community.
Absolutely. There are other festivals that focus on various cultures, but this is an opportunity for children that might not know about other cultures other than their own to get to know other cultures.
And who might have an interest, perhaps, in getting involved in the arts in some way, shape, or form as their development takes place. Brett, this event is on Sunday, October the 2nd. There is a charge to get in or no?
Well, on Sunday, October 2nd, that's the free festival, full-blown festival, up to 8 facets of entertainment spread throughout Old Sac, mainly focused on the 1849 scene and on Front Street. Mm-hmm. But on Saturday, we're introducing a new component this year, and we hope to do this in the years in the future, and that's a Spotlight On series. This year, we're doing a Spotlight on India. From 6 to 9 p.m. in Old Sacramento, on one of the stages, we'll be hosting a myriad of acts.
This is on the Saturday night before.
On Saturday, October 1st, from 6 to 9. And that'll mm-hmm. be a focus on India. And there's going to be upwards of 12 acts just showing off the talents that we have in our region that reflect the cultures in India.
And for that event, there is a charge.
Yeah, nominal fee, $5 for 13 and over.
And where will that be held in Old Sac? Is that going to be
Waterfront Park in front
Waterfront
of Rio City
Park.
Cafe.
Okay, perfect.
How did, Carol, you're the founding board member, how did the idea for the Sacramento World Music and Dance Festival come about? It's obviously in its infancy. This is its fourth year. How did it come about, and how have things gone so far?
Well, about 6 years ago, Lena Fat, who many people know,
the Fat Family Restaurants. Sure. And a huge tourism advocate in Sacramento.
Absolutely. Yes, she sat down with me, and we talked about having an event where all the different cultures could come together and highlight the fact that Sacramento is such a culturally diverse community. And she actually had this vision of the Old Sacramento people being able to come in, listen to music, watch dance, but also be involved in things like cultural or culinary tastings.
Sure.
Like we're having this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting. That sounds exciting. That will.
That's the boy.
Yeah,
I,
now
for
you
me.
That's
now you got our attention. Now we're talking
now
food.
Now I've got your interest.
You
yeah.
got that right.
When sports leisure travelers are out on the road, we never miss a feeding, for sure. Okay, so this event is on Saturday evening,
October the 1st. There's a small admission charge if you want to come to the Special India Spotlight that night. The event is all day Sunday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. on various different stages down in Old Sac. And to tell folks who haven't been down there for a few years, perhaps it's in the area adjacent to the museums there. If you remember where they used to show the movies on the wall on Friday nights, it's in that many of the stages are in that park area there. So perfect time of the year weather-wise.
Yeah.
Perfect event to bring the family to. And dare I say, especially for the all-day event on Sunday, if you're looking for something where you could do as a family that wouldn't cost you a tremendous amount of money, this would be it.
Absolutely. And you can actually go on to the website and download a map that will tell you where different things are and what some of the events are during the day.
And we should take this opportunity to remind folks to go to that who are interested in information on the Sacramento World Music and Dance Festival. If you go to travelguysradio.com, just like for all of our programs, you can find connections to links to all of the guests on today's program. Travelguysradio.com will get you the Sacramento World Music and Dance Festival. Any last thoughts? Anything we haven't talked about?
Well, gosh, you know, there's a plethora of things that we could have talked about, but I just want to highlight some of the entertainment on one of the stages. We have a Bob Marley tribute that's being presented by Urban Fire. They're our local reggae band that's been gigging around for almost 20 years. And also a fabulous hour set from Jambalaya. Jambalaya is a local group that just got flown out to Boston to be a headliner on one of their multicultural festivals out there. So I look forward to seeing them on our stage and us hosting world-class ethnic entertainment.
It sounds like you guys literally have something for just about everybody.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
And Carol, just before we go here, how many people have attended this event last year? Several thousand?
Brett, do you know?
Well, you know, Old Sacramento is a great place to host a venue because it has a built-in crowd.
Right.
We're estimating between 7,000 and 8,000 people were exposed to the entertainment facets that we had out there.
Wow, cool.
And, you know, I have to point out that in Old Sacramento, for an event like this, don't be afraid. 7,000 to 8,000 people spread out over the entire Old Sac area is not crowded.
Good point, Tom. It's not crowded at all.
Yeah. You can really enjoy yourself and be able to get to everything you want to do and try all the foods and enjoy all the world cultural stuff without it seeming like a madhouse. It'd
Absolutely.
Be great.
Absolutely. And the Global Village, we've set it up so that different demonstrations and the classes and that type of thing will be going on constantly. There is music ongoing at the different stages on an ongoing basis. And I might mention, just to give you an idea of some of the cultures, Russian, German, Irish, African, Hmong, Chinese, Sikh, Indian, Native American, Greek, it goes on and on, Italian,
thank you.
I'm so sorry. I almost missed that one. I wouldn't have forgotten. But it just
you got
goes,
the food part in. You got Tom's
attention.
Yeah,
and of course, Spices of the World, which is our theme for our food.
It is the Sacramento World Music and Dance Festival. It takes place on Sunday, 2 weeks, October the 2nd, from 10 to 5, with a special India Spotlight performance on Saturday evening. Go to travelguysradio.com to get more information. We will see you there at the Sacramento World Music and Dance Festival. Thanks to Brett and Carol for coming in and telling us a little bit about it today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are the Travel Guys in Entertainment right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Here's your sports leisure travel update for Sunday, September 18th. If you would like your personal copy of our 2012 catalog, Around the Corner, Around the World, highlighting dozens of tours to everywhere from New York to New Zealand, just go online at sportsleisure.com or call our office at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. Our international schedule of tours for 2012 includes Costa Rica, a terrific cruise to Vietnam, Cambodia, Hong Kong, and Singapore early next year, and an exclusive two-week visit to New Zealand and many more. Attention figure skating fans, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships are being held in San Jose next January, and Sports Leisure Vacations has exclusive ticket, hotel, and transportation packages to see all the major events. Space is limited and early reservations are advised. Call Monday for information on the U.S. Figure Skating packages or go online right now to your 24/7 travel store at sportsleisure.com. Finally, our Lucky Travel Club members this week are Mildred Troop and Nancy Giles. Mildred Troop and Nancy Giles, if you call the Sports Leisure Leisure office. Before the close of business on Tuesday, you can claim $100 in tour cash just for listening to the Travel Guys. And that's your Sports Leisure Travel Club update for today. Complimentary 6 months memberships are available to Travel Guys listeners. Go to travelguysradio.com for details.
Here's another useful tip from Orchard Supply Hardware. Know your valves. Familiarize your responsible family members with the location and operation of the main gas and water valve where you live. If you're unsure of the location and operation, contact a qualified plumber. Knowing how to shut off the main in an emergency could prevent major damage to your home. Get more valuable tips at www.osh.com. For service selection and convenience, Orchard Supply Hardware, California's favorite home improvement source.
Shopping for your next car is easy and fun when you log on to CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can choose from thousands of used cars in our nationwide inventory, most of which are available for transfer to a store near you. Fee may apply. You can check out tons of pictures and features, compare prices, and more. The car you'll fall in love with is at CarMax.com right now. Log on today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Traveling west on MSR Vernon, 4 Victor, 16 packs, request MSR status, over. Roger, Scorpion 23, all MSRs and AOR red past 24 hours, 3 IEDs on MSR Vernon.
Victor X-ray, this is Scorpion 23, 1 Victor hit by IED at grid, Mike Bravo, 310-737, take the small arms fire, request QRF and medevac at this location, over.
In war, there will always be casualties. And for our wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. American troops who suffer traumatic injuries need the support of every American. Join us and find out how your donation can make a difference in the lives of our wounded warriors and their families at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
KFBK Sacramento and KHLX HD3 Pollock Pines.
If you
just a few weeks ago, we were talking with Carolyn Spencer Brown. She is our cruise critic, and we were talking about what went on with Hurricane Irene and how people reacted in the cruise industry. Mark, I know you've had an opportunity to try to reach one of those that we refer to as the winners and the losers?
The winners and the losers, yeah. When Carolyn was on with us a couple weeks ago, if you folks remember, Hurricane Irene, as it made its way from, started in Puerto Rico, was its first real landfall, and then made its way up, all the way up the East Coast, obviously. But it was in Puerto Rico that a story kind of unfurled. Two cruise lines faced similar situations, Carnival and Royal Caribbean, with passengers who were on their way to the ship for a sailing, and the ship was told, leave early, mm-hmm. 5-6 hours early, get away from the dock and out of port and out into the ocean where there won't be as much damage, you won't be at as much risk. And so Carnival Cruise Lines compensated all the people who missed the ship because they had to sail early. They had people there to take care of hotel accommodations, to give people reference. Now remember, a hurricane is starting to bear down on this on Puerto Rico.
Right.
So it's not a situation where you're standing in the sunshine picking out a hotel room. I mean, there's some urgency to this whole situation. The Royal Caribbean Cruise Line folks who were arriving for sailing that evening found their ship also had left, but Royal Caribbean handled it a little bit differently. In other words, they had basically packed up, gone home, and those people were on their own. They had nobody to help them with their hotel. They had no way to get to the next port of call or try to catch the cruise line. You know, there was nobody to advocate on their behalf, one of the reasons that you kind of want to book your travel through a travel agent.
As you pointed out, there wasn't even someone there to wave bye-bye.
No, there wasn't. The ship was gone. Anyway, Carolyn talked all about that with us online, and we kind of raked Royal Caribbean over the coals, and so I felt it would be only fair to give them a call and give them a chance to come on the program.
And how'd that work out for you?
They kind of shined me on for several days and kept saying, we'll get back to you, and they never did. However, All of the pressure that has come to bear on them from within the travel media may have had some impact, because we now have the story that Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines have gone back to the 450 people who were stranded in San Juan for the hurricane and have given them partial compensation. They didn't pick up the hotel rooms or any of those expenses, but they did give them a credit, those that missed the ship, for a future cruise, and made some effort at least to make things right. So I'll give them half a star.
All right. Well, perhaps we will still have an opportunity sometime to hook up with them, but for the moment, that is the rest of the story.
Well, and they've got a big PR spin on it, and their spokesperson in the press release and stuff like that, and that's all fine. I mean, it's as we pointed out, sometimes when the going gets tough, some people get tough and some people get going.
Yeah.
And the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line just got going and left you there. And so that's something that you want to be concerned about when you're making choices for travel is, you know, anybody can go on a bright, sunny day when the weather is perfect. What happens when that doesn't happen?
Anyway. I would imagine if we get an opportunity to talk to them, they probably found themselves in a situation where the government and others were saying, leave.
Yep.
And they just put them, were in a situation where there wasn't anything they could
do. Well, but there's really no excuse for that, because they're a cruise line. They do this every day. They have all kinds of resources at hand that were not in Puerto Rico that they could have tapped into. As the lady said, they could have called me on my telephone. Yeah. I had it with me.
And then, as Carolyn pointed out, the Carnival and others had the same information and the same timeline and did have an opportunity.
And responded very differently. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay, a couple of other odds and ends that I have here, Tom. You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com and find out more about these. Bus travel is making a comeback, city-to-city bus travel. Airlines have become so expensive, and with the baggage situation and all the security hassle and stuff, a bus has become luxury motor coaches. I know, because I ride on them quite frequently as a method of travel, can be very comfortable. They now have Wi-Fi and all kinds of services on board and extra legroom and stuff. And there's this war going on the East Coast where inner city bus tickets are as low as a dollar.
Wow.
I mean, companies are falling all over each other and fighting each other because the Acela train, the high-speed rail has become expensive and air has become expensive and all those things take a lot of time. You can go out and get on a bus and you're out of town. So anyways, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you can see not only independent bus lines, but Greyhound themselves are kind of creating these hub systems throughout the country.
Got the new Greyhound terminal right here in Sacramento. Very nice.
And the new paint job on the buses is kind of sleek, too. I'm probably the only person who notices the paint job on a Greyhound bus. All right, here's another item. This one's is kind of fun. 10 great places to sink your teeth into a burger. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and we've got a list of 10 awesome places to have a hamburger. And this is really good news for me. You know why, Tom?
Why?
I haven't been to any of these places.
Really?
And now, I'm a huge
hamburger
fan.
Let me ask you. I can't see the list from here, and I'm not on the website. Four Guys?
Four Guys. No, these are all independent little places, not chain restaurants.
Oh, okay. Squeeze In?
That type of place, but Squeeze In is not on the list. But go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and it's 10 places to sink your teeth into a burger, and you can see that. Or if you're about to make a trip, particularly to the eastern side of the country, and you've got to get from one city to another, you might want to take a look at this expanded bus route thing, because it might save you a lot of money, and frankly, it might be a lot more convenient. So that's just kind of some odds and ends stuff to get out of the way.
Thank you, Mark. We are getting near the end of the program, and Mark, I know you had a comment about the horrible accident at the Reno Air Races to share with us. Go ahead.
Well, Tom, I think we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge the horrible accident that happened in Reno at the Reno Air Races, which, of course, is a huge tourism event here in the Western United States and draws folks from all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. And that was a really terrible situation that occurred there. And it sounds as though the pilot was a real hero, and even though he lost his life in trying to minimize the amount of damage that the crash caused. But anyway, a very sad event in Reno over the week. A good tour operator friend of mine, Ann Thomas, had a number of people at the event, and fortunately they were all safe. And I know many people in tourism in the Reno, Tahoe area, and all of them have been dramatically impacted by this. So it's a horrible tragedy, but it is the type of event that unfortunately lends itself to the possibility that something of that manner could occur.
Well put, Mark. Thanks.
Well, Tom, that about does it for another Travel Guys Sunday. We'll be here again next Sunday at 2 o'clock for an exciting hour of travel news.
Remember, we are the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program. An hour a week is all we ask. We'll see you next Sunday at 2 right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Have a great week.
He never has the time to turn around.